To order, this is a meeting of the Port Washington Planning Commission on May 21st, 2026. Happy birthday to Barb Matera and Tom Knightsky. Roll call, all members are here. I'm looking for someone to approve the previous meeting minutes.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any questions or concerns on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. I'm going to move up agenda item 5, which was added later to right after the public comments. Is there anyone here to make public comments tonight? Okay, there are no public comments. So that brings us into agenda item 5. I'm going to skip over 4 and end on the zoning code rewrite. Agenda item number 5 is consideration and possible action on a proposed public sculpture piece for Cold Dock Park at 190 South Wisconsin Street. The project is being asked to provide a recommendation to the Common Council on a proposal to install a Cold Dock Park. The project is fully funded and ready to go, and the staff is recommending approval of the proposed sculpture at Cold Dock Park. Mr. Harris. No, but.
Never been muted before. So,
Do I have that power from here?
So the city has received a donation in the amount of $100,000, and that donation is for the creation and the installation of a sculpture to be placed at Cold Dock Park. And actually, that's consistent with the 2009 Cold Dock Park master plan. And this is kind of an initiative that I know the mayor has been working on for a few years now, and along with the Friends of the Park and Rec. And now with this donation, there's the proposal in that we'll take the $100,000, both for the creation of the sculpture and also the remaining funds, about $20,000, will be placed in an account for its maintenance. And so I'm just going to show the commission real quick the location and what the sculpture will look like. So here is the 2009 Cold Dock Park plan. And in the highlighted in red is the idea that there was a sculpture garden always kind of thought of or envisioned for this property, kind of within that teardrop island that's created by that ring road of parking. And then this is just kind of the perspective of that teardrop from looking east where that the lighthouse is lined up, and this it'll be in this general location. And then this is the proposed sculpture, the I Love Port Washington sculpture. And so there was kind of this research done, given that this is the Cold Dock Park land, this is lakebed land, this is We Energies land. And the recommendation from council is that formal process should be that this should have an approval and recommendation from both Plan Commission and Council, and that's why we are here tonight. The recommendation is, on my part, is to recommend, and I'll just hand it over to the Mayor and the Council.
Yep, you did a nice job covering that, Bob. The sculpture is supposed to begin its manufacturing, if it's a final approved tonight, early next week, and then installation should be here in the middle of June with anticipation that it's done well before the 4th of July and Fish Day. The heart will be painted red. The I and PW will be painted in almost a matching color of the lighthouse. And then the way it'll be set is if you are walking along the inner harbor on the sidewalk, when you get to the last staircase in the teardrop that Bob was referring to, it will be just to the south of that, and then it will be angled in a fashion so that when you're downtown at Rotary Park, Inventors, Brew Pub, et cetera, you'll be able to read and see it. But then it is also designed so that, that our hope and my hope with this particular sculpture was that this would become kind of the focal point for homecoming, prom, wedding pictures, reunions, welcome to Port Washington, but then also draw more people over to Cold Dock Park. It's a highly underutilized space because of it's not really easy to get to if you don't know how to navigate it. So that's what it is. It's being donated by Cloverleaf, and then C.D. Smith gave an additional $10,000 so that we could keep a fund for maintenance. It will be fully landscaped around the platform on a concrete platform. It will be poured into the platform. And then it will be, magnetically painted. So it'll be painted very well. So that's kind of the background. So any other questions on that or wonderings? Lighting is included in it.
Okay.
So it will be lit from a distance, and it will be lit throughout the evening. So, yeah, so the money raised was to ensure that we could light it, landscape it, and then maintain it. So there'll be a fund kept by the Friends of Park and Rec to be able to offer repairs, et cetera, for it. Yeah, good question. Sorry, I missed that point.
Is it steel?
Yeah.
It's all steel.
Okay. Yeah, it's fabricated, and it's not tubular, but I think, I think it's a foot wide. Yeah, it's being manufactured up in the Fond du Lac area.
Okay.
And C.D. Smith fled out the whole project for us and donated, some time and effort as well as some money.
I'll move approval.
There's a motion to approve. Roger, did you have a question? Otherwise, can you make a second so we can stay on my little Roberts rule?
I second the motion.
Okay, so there's a motion and a second. And did you have something, Roger?
I just say I'm in favor of public art, so I'm all for this.
Yep. Appreciate that. Okay, any other questions on this? All right, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? All right, motion carries. Roger, I join with you. I mean, my hope is that this installation will then create a consciousness around other philanthropists that like, hey, we can actually realize sculptures, not just there, but throughout the city to match our murals that we put in place. So another reason to visit Port Washington or to stay. All right, that brings us into agenda item number 4, which is the zoning code rewrite. This is a staff update and discussion item only on draft articles 18 and appendix C, dimensional standards, 19 engineering and environmental standards, and 20 architectural standards for the proposed zoning rewrite. Mr. Harris, as we move into this, the one thing that I wanted to just reserve for your time is a little bit about when we get into architectural standards, some of the height considerations for multifamilies that in this draft that I think before we send it to council, I'd like to get us to consensus because I don't think everybody wants to go to 48 feet.
No, you'll see that. I have.
Yeah.
There's a slide for that.
Slide. All right. You have the floor, sir.
All right. So actually threw a little bit of a lot of information at you, and so as we're coming in, starting to kind of come down in altitude and start lining up for a landing pretty soon, this is kind of some significant chapters. And so let me just, as I have been doing, we're just introducing these chapters or articles, as they're technically called, and then just kind of what some of the, I'll summarize or just kind of point out some questions or issues that I want to, throw at the Plan Commission for any possible discussion. So I'll just start going through 18, 19, 20, and then laying out some of the issues for that. So starting with the dimensional standards, this is, as we see, this is defining lot area setbacks, building heights, as mentioned, and we'll get back to that. And then kind of the accessory garages and how things are measured, how big they are, how they're placed on the lots. But I did want to highlight some of the building height components to this. And then, again, this is discussion. We're not deciding anything tonight. But this is, as the mayor pointed out, something that we can discuss. And prior to going into the approval cycle, try to get some consensus between now and then. So real quick, a little highlight that I thought was actually having the diagrams of how certain buildings with roof lines are measured. I know in the past, there was always sometimes some confusion with how building heights are measured, particularly how our garage heights measured when we would have some of these special exceptions. And so we kind of have a picture for everyone, and I think it kind of demonstrates, you know, how to measure based on these roof lines. This is actually too much different from our current code. It's just that when you see the diagram, it makes a big difference. And so you're going to see them in front of you. The other item I wanted to bring up, or just kind of mention at least, was the idea of a required step back for attached garages. And I think the intent text that we see here kind of sums it up. And it's just so we kind of have in Port Washington moving forward, if we get this far with this provision, is highlighting the residential portion of a house fronting a street and in a neighborhood rather than, you know, the garage portion of it. And so the proposal in the zoning code will be a kind of a modest step back from the front living portion of the house. And then, and so the garage doors are, you know, in this case, they're proposed for like a modest 2 foot setback. And then that kind of gives, you know, that kind of gives a prominence to the residential portion of the house and kind of it's neighborhoods for people and kind of puts the cars in the back seat, so to speak. So I just wanted to highlight that. Just moving into touching on the building heights, I thought I'd get some previously reviewed multifamily apartments and kind of showing their heights in comparison to what is proposed, at least, or drafted in. Real quick, RM4 is the multifamily district that we have now, and then R4 will be is the multi district in the proposed code. As some of you may know, 60 feet has been the maximum height in our RM4 district for, as far as I can tell, decades. It's a pretty tall height. And I don't think outside of downtown that it's come up at least since I've been here. And I remember even when I first got here, architects remarking that, you know, for a, you know, outside of a major city or a dense city in the Milwaukee area, you know, they were surprised to see that. So I think it's outlived its life in this code. I think it hasn't been used outside of downtown. And so we're looking at, you know, changing the maximum height of the our dense multifamily district that we'll have. Currently in the draft that you had, it is 60 feet. I've since, you know, given the heads up to our consultants that this should come down. I have the suggestion of 48 feet. I have a suggestion that previously was 42 feet, and I can just show, you know, how we get there. So real quick, the apartment on the top, that was a proposal that you saw late last year on Seven Hills Road between the Holiday Inn and the Park and Ride lot. This is a four-story building, and based on their submitted elevations, granted it was just a concept plan, but their submitted elevations showed about a 49-foot building height up to the top, the ridgeline or the top of the roof. This is, the slide below is a Cardinal Capital proposal from about 7 years ago on LL. Again, a four-story building and looking at, it was approximately 46 feet. Again, this is a flat roof, so up to that flat roof line. A little more perspective for you all, looking at the recent police and fire building. That top of the that top section of over the overhead fire doors is 35 feet. 45 feet is actually the top of the base of the hose tower, and then the light fixture, that part is above it. So just to give you perspective of 35 feet looks like, 45 feet looks like. And then getting to that 42 feet that was that I kind of suggest with that was has been discussed. And this is kind of the Harbor Springs on Highway 32, which I think is a, you know, the scale of that building, I think really, granted it's oriented, you know, the short the short face is fronting 32. But I think overall, this is a nice scale for port. And then you can see how it's about approximately 42 feet, again, to that ridge line. And so I think, you know, I don't think there's any argument about getting away from that 60 feet. And then the discussion is where do we want to land? 42 feet, 45 feet, 48 feet. And then we also have to take into consideration, you know, the different types of roof lines. So how we measure that. So that's what I really wanted to bring to the commission's attention. Maybe have some discussion tonight, and that can continue. Just moving along and highlighting the next chapter as far as architectural standards. Well, let me back up. Engineering and environmental standards, not much to them. It's a short chapter, and a lot of it is just kind of required items, like state's required items. It does make a provision for the commission can have the power to require or ask for a traffic study for any development that comes up. The only thing I would add is just instead of requiring a traffic study for certain benchmarks of a development, I think it'd be best and a little more flexible if this is an optional tool that the commission can have in their back pocket and not necessarily a requirement. I think I can opine on parking studies. I think the city engineer can as well. I think it'd be a little more flexible if you just have that ability on a case-to-case basis and rather than requiring one. And then finally, moving to architectural standards, a couple of highlights in my report. Requiring four-sided architecture in defined cases. And what that means is that it's not just the nice face of the building that's the front, having, kind of the architectural, the nicer architectural details. But if there's a building backing into a residential, and then so the public right-of-way facing front should also have some type of standards for the residential portions as well. It's not just residential, it's just if it's visible. And it's not the full treatment, it's not requiring a full treatment, but for example, if you're driving down 43 South in Mequon, you see that longer strip mall that backs into 43. Four-sided architecture also can just include matching a paint color and some of the details. And on that strip mall, Mequon, you see like the blue, the matching color in the front, you know, there's trim paint, and it just kind of helps it blend in rather than the stark, unfinished or untreated block, brick, masonry, what have you. The other one is when, when now it's the Family Dollar. I remember talking to Marty Becker when he was mayor, and he told a story about how the city required some type of finishing product on the roof line since it was backing up onto the residential. So that's what it means by four-sided architecture. It's just nice having that codified in a new zoning code. The other item is just pointing out scale of residential homes next to each other, but also when there's a residential district abutting a non-residential district and requiring a certain kind of scale. So in the example above, there is a there's an idea where residential additions within a residential district, the plan commission and the code would provide some language to prevent kind of, and this is an exaggeration example for port, but this is an actual, this actually happened. And so to prevent kind of these out of scale additions of, or new homes that could be part of any rebuild. So it's not just completely, it's preventing some form, exaggerated or not, this type of situation. Excuse me. Want to note, this is this picture here with the, you know, this large residential addition. This is a recent story from a New York Times, and I remember noting that when I was reading it, but I also got an email from a resident referring to the same article, so that kind of, you know, it was kind of nice to see that the code is covering what kind of public input I've received so far. The other items are just kind of simple, like, for example, in the design review board kind of is on top of this, but taking these large, some of these multifamily buildings or commercial buildings for that matter, and just ensuring what I put as a building needs a hat. That's kind of one of my little pet peeves of certain types of architecture, particularly some that's going on today where you just have minimal coping, really, or no parapets at all. So this code is going to require that we don't have this situation in the bottom left-hand sort where it's just kind of this flat building with minimal treatment at the roof edge. So we kind of have some visual variety and distinction at the top. And then just a simple thing of requiring mechanical screening. That's not something that's in our code, and that's a pretty standard requirement. I think that's all I have for this. But I know going back to discussion here is the idea of our RM4 type of multifamily and getting away from 60 feet and where do we want to land. I will note that it's not much of an issue for the remaining districts. They're all pretty consistent, or it's all pretty much the same as what we have now. Residential districts in our current code, it's always been 30 feet. There's a newer addition where it's proposed to have 32 feet. The other multifamily districts in the proposed code, there hasn't changed. It's about 35 feet or so. So it's really this RM4, this high density multifamily district that's really bears or needs some discussion on where we want to go with that. And with that, I'll stop my summary and throw it over to the commission.
Questions or wonderings for Bob? Mr. Ehrlich?
Quick question I have is in where you start looking at how you're measuring the heights, building heights, and you've shown that graphic and where you kind of cut the peak in half and so on and so forth, but we're not being very consistent if you're looking at some of the other things where you're going to the peak. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We have to make sure that we're very clear where we're changing it, if we're going to change it, or if we're going to count that 42 feet or that 45 feet to the middle?
Correct.
Okay. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about, which is not on the slide, is there's exceptions to the building height that you have. And that was something that was kind of a thing of contention on some buildings that were proposed here in downtown. One of it is the elevator penthouse, allowing that to go above that minimum height. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page that that's an exception that we want. Or is it, look, it's 45 feet and that's it, you know?
Now, downtown will have its own overlay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and I'm not saying one way or another at this point. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page that doesn't become something that it's, well, yeah, but, you know.
And I'm sorry, I agree with you on that because one of the notes I took in my packet was if we set it at 48 or 42 or 51 feet, how often are we going to be sitting here going against the intention, which was to be able to just simply call balls and strikes on everything and then have people coming in for variances because, as we saw with the potential apartment development on the north side, that's a canned, pre-architecturally designed, developed piece with a good ROI for the developer. And who the heck is Port Washington to say, I can't be at 46 feet. Every other community in the world is at 46 feet. So how do I cut 4 feet off of this? Or how do I add, you know, those different pieces? Because I mean, we can set it wherever we want to and make that recommendation up to council. My greater concern is wherever we set it, I just want it to be in a spot where that's a standard for that type of level development. Because I don't think Port Washington is appropriate for 8, 9, 10 stories anywhere yet. But as we do that, I just want to make sure that that's something we can answer. Because I thought we had settled on 42 feet. And when I saw 48, I was a little surprised. Mr. Ryer?
Yep. Yeah, I would echo. I'm at 42 at the top end for what I would be comfortable with. You look at the rest of the residential districts, and like Bob said, you're sitting at like 32 feet for most of them. The neighbors that came in when the taller buildings were proposed by the old hospital, I think we heard them pretty much loud and clear that when you're dealing with an existing residential neighborhood, people were not in support of something that was out of scale. And there's not too many areas of town that already have that height. So almost anywhere you go and anywhere you build, unless you're really separated from that, you're gonna have existing residential that's shorter right next to something that could be a lot taller. And I agree with the two of you, the comments, either removing the exceptions from anywhere other than downtown. Otherwise, you probably are gonna be in here with each developer with a product that's been successful somewhere else, making their case that I can do this project, but only if I get the extra 5 feet or the extra 6 feet. Or what is the height? Where does the height stop? Then can I do a such and such on top? And then I feel like we're back to where we've been before. And I would just encourage us as a group to stick with that shorter height, that 42 feet as a cap. And outside of the downtown area where people might come in and pitch something that's super unique and something that the community doesn't want to pass up on, really minimizing or removing that exception. Otherwise, we'll be faced with that. So,
where do other commissioners fall in that?
I'd like to stick with the 42 and talking about the exceptions, since you and I have been on the planning commission together. Which is, I don't want to get into this variance battle.
Yeah.
I want no, yes, no, yes, no, except for the overlay downtown, but I want a consistent 42.
As well as, you know, the planner to be able to stop something at his desk and say, I'm not going to recommend that.
I agree.
Okay. You okay with 42?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with the 42 as well, mirroring what you were saying about the existing residential. And then what you mentioned, I think, months ago about like the gateways into town, you know, the first thing you see, you know, do you really want something that high? I think 42 is, I think, a better height.
And just something for me contextually, like when I look at, and I don't want to name any communities, but there's been some significant apartment growth in some communities in Ozaukee County. And when you see the scale of some of those apartment buildings, when you go through, you know, again, I don't want to say the name of the community, it rhymes with Rafton, but like they're huge. And they're kind of weirdly, they're just, their zoning code must be, I don't know, it's not critical, but when you drive into town or you're looking up over the interstate, it creates that canyon effect that we would lose a lot of quaintness. Even as we expand to the west and north and south in Port Washington, I don't necessarily know that we need that large pieces. But Roger, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I guess I'm the only eyeball in here. I like a four-story building in these areas, and I guess I equate four stories with 48 feet. So, I mean, you can always go 42 by going into the ground and get four stories, but... So I guess I'm okay with 48, but I'm not going to die on that hill.
Yeah. Garden level. Right?
Okay. Now, I do want to point out in the proposed code, it does have a little table of exceptions. You know, chimneys, flues,
yep.
Spire steeples, cupolas, solar chimneys. It does have also a elevator penthouse.
And that's where I kind of was like, okay, we did talk about it, and so mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure everybody knew what we were getting into, because these are now exceptions that we would allow above and beyond that.
So right now, and you know, this is for height outside of downtown, elevator penthouse, they're proposing up to 8 feet over the maximum building height, which makes sense because it's an 8-foot sure. elevator.
Sure.
I don't get too worried about those exceptions. It's just, again, if we're sitting in here in variance hell for an evening and, you know, then I think that's a greater problem.
Mm-hmm. I think it might be a nice compromise to what Roger was saying is maybe, you know, it allows a little bit more height so that you could get a little bit higher building. You know, you can bring the building to the 42 feet and then your elevator can go above that if you needed to.
Particularly if it's stepped back enough further inside the middle of the building floor plate on the roof plate.
Right. Right.
Well, we are making a recommendation, and our recommendation is, it sounds like 42 feet. The other recommendation is to provide an architectural dictionary so I can learn what a gambrel and a mansard is without, and a hip gable. These all sound like dance moves from the 80s.
The mansard is the McDonald's roof line.
Right. Yeah, no, I see that, but like, I just, some of the, like, you know, snout, garage, like I don't know if architects lack imagination in their naming things or
there's no lack of imagination in architecture.
You're bored.
Yeah, no lack. Just in the words. Yeah.
Okay. I have one question for
Mr. Neumeyer.
Just going back to the traffic study, we're gonna leave it as an option. If we do require that or a parking study, does the developer have to pay for that or is that on the city?
That's a developer paying.
Developer. Yeah. Okay.
That's how it's written in there?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I have one other question.
Yeah.
The houses. So if that design standard gets put in there and a developer mm-hmm. has like a product line of houses and mm-hmm. the menu of options, does that mean you just sit down with them and simply say, before you even come in with a plat and you have like your stock designs, you just let them know that this is how it is and people that wanted to pick that design, it's just not an option?
Yeah, I've been looking at, you know, because I'll be talking to kind of the subdivision developers here. You know, they're kind of trending that way. This is becoming more of, this is not unique, this step back for garages.
I like it.
They have, I've seen, like, for example, both Newman and Belinsky, they have products for that. And so it's... You know, it's much like how garages were a prominent thing. You know, you can come home from work, pull into your garage, and don't have to worry about anything. And now we're starting to, you know, go back to a little more traditional neighborhood development type of feel for our homes. So this is I lost track of what was your question?
It's as simple as that then. You'll just sit down with them and... say this is the design.
Yeah, this is where we're going. This is what the zoning code is being proposed for.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bob, I just want you to know I have high empathy for that train of thought, you know, 6:30, mid-50s. All right. Appendix C, zoning districts and dimensional standards.
I didn't have much for that. It's just kind of a little more diagrammatic and specific to... Chapter 18.
I had no questions. Did anyone else?
No, I just wanted to comment that this is really helpful just because I'm digging into zoning codes a lot.
Yeah.
It's really helpful to, okay, what do they mean by this? Mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate you doing it.
Yeah, I pointed out that I think in an earlier meeting where the way how this is coming together, it's a lot more detailed. It's a lot more detailed, and I think that's helpful. It's a lot more detailed on spelling out what things are, how they're measured, and it's also more detailed on the procedure.
Right.
So I think hopefully this will takes out the guesswork, takes out some of the ambiguity. There'll always be some in a zoning code. There's a little bit of an art to it, but this will kind of, I think, really have... Rather going from fuzzy, it's kind of, you know, more black and white.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
That brings us to Article 19, Engineering and Environmental Standards.
Oh, I covered that. That was with the...
So we're good with that?
Yeah.
And then 20, Architectural Standards, General Standards.
We covered that as well just now.
We're good to go?
Mm-hmm.
The only wondering I do have, Bob, as we close out this evening's meeting, is mm-hmm. is there any architect, in when we're looking at coding, is there ever built into the code review by school district for impact? Or is that an ordinance? So Port Washington is unique because our superintendent, our school district superintendent sits on the planning mm-hmm. commission for advisory purposes.
Yes.
But has there ever been, you know, like if someone wants to come and do a multi complex apartment development and mm-hmm. say it brings 600 apartments to the city, is there ever a review by the school district to determine impact before approval? As part of the part of either the code or ordinance?
I've never seen it in the zoning code. I do think that I've some reports or staff reports, they might mention the impact on the school district. And I don't know if it's just based on projected number of children or persons living here under the age of 18 and how that applies to the headcount and the funding formula.
Yeah. I just remember when the apartment complexes were built on the west side of town, just west of Culver's, mm-hmm. south and west, southwest of Culver's, that the way that was originally designed and developed, it had a pretty significant impact on that, on Dunwoody and that area because of a kind of an explosion of growth of young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's important to make sure the school district is part of either the review process or the approval process. And I mean, as long as you know, Michael's here, we're in good shape.
Yeah, I haven't seen it so much for multifamily. I've seen it for subdivisions, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The superintendent in Cedarburg, they have like a chamber event every year in summer. And he'll get up and he'll talk about like how many kids per home are generated by each new home versus each new apartment. And if they've got it down to like each new unit is 0.76 children and apartments.
Yeah, no, there's a formula. Yeah.
What happens to the rest of the kids?
Okay, so with that, is there anyone willing to make a motion to adjourn? There's a motion to adjourn in a second. Any questions or concerns on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Good night, everybody. This meeting is adjourned. Go Pirates.